It's time for Utah StoryCorps, everyday people sharing their story at the StoryCorps recording booth in Vernal during July of this year. Joshua Gardner is a teacher and mentor on the Ute Reservation where he was raised. He sat down with his sister, Shasheen, to discuss their struggle coming to terms with their identity.
We grew up on the Uinta and Ori Reservation right here in Utah. My father is a full-blood Native American from the Indian tribe here, but my mother is Caucasian. She's white. And so with just that element there, there's been a lot of different things that have happened to us over the years. You know, everyone has struggles, but being mixed blood, our mother being white, a lot of people were not accepting of that on the reservation.
What was the first thing that you remember actually realizing that you were mixed?
The thing that I remember was when we were really, really young, my father always wanted us to be proud of who we were, but he was also very worried about what other people would do to us because of that. My dad always told me, he's like, you know, don't let anybody know that you're half. If anybody asks you, you're Native American. But I remember one of my cousins started talking about how my mom was white, and I just remember the feeling of regret and the feeling of I was ashamed of who I was. You know, and that stuck with me for a long time. It took me probably until college until I started to accept, you know, both sides of my ethnicity. You know, when anybody asked me, I was Native American. If they saw my mom, feel a little bit of shame for who she was, even though I do love my mother.
Are you an enrolled tribal member?
I am not. Their blood quantum to be enrolled as a Ute, Northern Ute tribal member is 5/8. I am currently at 1/2. Of course, that's not going to change, but I'm at 1/2. So I was unable to be enrolled as a Ute.
And how has that affected your childhood all the way up to now?
It's motivated me extremely. You know, I don't get the same rights as someone who is federally recognized as a tribal member.
Can you give an example?
There is, it's a monthly amount of money that the tribe does give out. I don't get that. Tribal scholarships I do not get. I don't have hunting or fishing rights on reservation land. I do make Native American flutes, and for some reason I cannot call them crafted by a Native American because I'm not federally recognized. I have to say that they're influenced or inspired by a Native American culture or something like that, you know, and it's that was a bit of a struggle when I was making flutes, just because it has to do with more of an identity, because society's telling me that, well, because I don't have this blood quantum, I'm not good enough to be federally recognized Native American. But it really, really motivated me to do well in school, because, you know, I can't really technically live on the reservation. I can't own a home. You know, I have to work hard. I have to aspire to be something, you know. Today it motivates me because I have a lot of students that are in the same situation as me. You know, a lot of them are not tribal members, and I just hope that they can follow in my footsteps, and hopefully they can exceed where I'm at. You know, by my age, I hope that most of them are beyond me, and that's something I aspire for.
And where did you learn to play the flute or make the flute?
My father, that's actually how he, or our father, that's how he made a living. That's how he put food on the table for us. Was we traveled in, like I said before, Native American performances, and then my dad would travel the United States and play his flute and stuff.
So it's something that was from generation to generation.
And he's passed it down, so.
And Joshua has gone the furthest with it out of all of us. And he is, even though, you know, he is not a tribal member, we know that it's going to carry on in our family with him.
Yes.
Well, you brought a flute. So yeah. You want to talk about your...
Well, I don't know. I'll talk about it. I'll just end with a song.
These conversations were recorded at the StoryCorps recording booth in Vernal and will be archived at the Library of Congress. Support for this segment of the Utah StoryCorps project is made possible in part by our members and Memory Mark, helping families preserve and relive precious memories that help keep us connected to the ones we love. Information at memorymark.com.